Sehen wir unseren Vater. Und das haben wir wohl gescaled von der Wand. Do you remember the last time what was our lesson or issue or subject? Choices between. Yeah. Can we make a right decision and don't hold between two ways? And we spoke about the broad way and the narrow way. And we said that the broad way is traveled by many or a few. Many. Regarding the narrow way, few or many will find it. Few will find it. Right? And I think we mentioned one reason why few will find the narrow way. Do you remember? What was this reason? Yeah. It needs to give up, to sacrifice, need self-denial, need obedience. It requires some sacrifices. And also, it requires a change in your life, a real change in heaven. Okay? And that's why many people don't prefer to travel on this way. But because this verse is very important, when the Lord said, but I tell you, many will seek to find it, but they will not be able to find it. So, I started to think about the reasons why only few will find the narrow way. And I came up with some reasons why only few will find the narrow way. And tonight I will discuss with you these reasons. So, if we can avoid these reasons, then it will be easy for us to find the narrow way, the right way, which is the way that leads to eternal life. So, first reason, just it's a repetition of what we said last time, and then we continue with new reason. First reason, many people don't find the narrow way simply because it is narrow. It is hard. It is difficult. It is difficult. You know, being a Christian requires self-denial, requires crucifying your body. I'm crucified with Jesus. Not physical crucifixion, but crucifying the desires of the body, giving up the pleasures of the world, living up to high spiritual standard, to die to the world. It requires many things. So, being a Christian is a challenging task, because it requires carrying a cross, and it takes your whole being. Let me read with you Matthew 22, verse 37. The Lord says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great first commandment. And the second is like it. you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I want you to notice here the word all. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So it takes your whole being. You cannot give part of your heart to God and the other part to the world. You cannot do this. You cannot give part of your mind to the Lord and another part to the world. You cannot do this. You cannot combine between this and that. So it's a challenging, task. And many people actually try to avoid or to escape any difficult task, because we want what? The easy way. We want the easy way. Many people don't like to be challenged. And that's why few will fight, because not many like to take a challenging task. For example, like Moses. When God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he first excused himself and said to the Lord, "The people will not believe me or hear me." So the Lord started to answer every excuse. He gave him two miracles and said to him, "If they will not hearken to the first sign, they will believe when they see the second." And if you read in Exodus chapter 4, you will see how Moses tried to find excuses, one after another. And God responded to every excuse until God became mad at him, angry at Moses. And usually we do the same thing. You know, for example, why don't you start giving, you know, find excuse after another? Because we don't want to go in this hard way. Why don't you reconcile with this person? We start to find excuses. Why you didn't turn your cheek? We start to find excuses. It's the same way. But there are other examples in the Holy Scripture about people accepted difficult and challenging tasks. Like Abraham. When God called Abraham to follow him, it wasn't an easy task at all. See how St. Paul described in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10. He said, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was to go." Not knowing where what he was to go. "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac, and Jacob heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So Abraham here accepted this hard way, the difficult way. And he followed that. When God called him, he followed him, even not knowing where he was to go. The same happened with Noah. He accepted the difficult task, as also St. Paul said in Hebrews 11, chapter 7, verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith." So he accepted this difficult task, although many people start to make fun at him and rebuke him, but all this being a matter for him. He accepted to be challenged by people. Rahab knew that the Israelites are children of God. And that's why she hid the two spies from the king of Jericho. And this was actually a very difficult task. Because if the king heard about it, he would kill her. But she accepted to take this challenge. Because she had faith in God. She had faith in God. And also, St. Paul spoke about her in verse 31, Hebrew 11, 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given friendly welcome to the spies. So, my point is, when our Lord Jesus Christ called us to be Christian, he's calling us to a hard, a difficult task. And you need to know this. And you need to accept this. And you need to have faith in God so that you will not be scared because of the difficulty of the task. If you look to the reward in heaven, as Abraham did, if you look to the help that comes from heaven, from God, to His grace, if you look to the vanity of the world, all this will help you to accept this difficult task, to accept to deny yourself and to crucify your body with Christ, to die to the world, to die to the world. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the Lord said, and he said to all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is a call. Are you willing to do this or not? If you want to be Christian without willing to accept this difficult task, this requirement to deny yourself, to carry your cross, to follow the Lord, if you are not willing to do this, then you are not Christian. You may be Christian by name, but you are not a real Christian. Following Christ. You know, many people, when we ask them, if Christ in your situation, what would he do? They say, but we are not Christ. No. You have to follow his steps. You have to imitate him. To have his mind. Like St. Paul when he said, we have the mind of Christ. That's Christianity. So the first reason why many people did not find the narrow way, because they don't like to accept the difficult task. They don't like to accept to deny themselves, to carry their cross and to follow the Lord. That's the first reason. The second reason, because many have prejudice in their heart. Prejudice. What do I mean by prejudice? Prejudice means to form an opinion or to hold to idea, assuming that this idea is right, is true, is correct, and I'm not willing to give it up. I'm not willing to examine to see if it is right or wrong. This prejudice. You know, as I find sometimes many youth have certain beliefs, certain state of mind, and the truth is very clear to them, but they refuse to give up this state of mind, and they insist on what they believe. And that's why it's very hard for them to find another way, because of their prejudice. See how Isaiah the prophet described these people. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, says, "And he said, go and say to this people, hear and hear, but do not understand. See and see, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." So, they have eyes, but they are blind. They have ears, but they are deaf. They have mind, but they cannot understand. Like the scribes and Pharisees during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the prophecies were fulfilled in Christ. It was very clear to them, this is the Messiah, but they started to counsel with each other how to kill him, how to crucify him. They were blind to the truth. They were deaf to the truth. And that's why they were not healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he quoted Isaiah when he spoke about the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14 and 15, he said, "With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear, but never understand, and you shall indeed see, but never perceive. For these people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are heavy of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn for me to heal them." The Lord tried to teach them to change this frame of mind, but because of their prejudice, they crucified. Their frame of mind was they looking to an earthly king, a Messiah, son of David, to come and to restore the kingdom of their father David. That is their perception. So when our Lord Jesus Christ came and said to them, "My kingdom is not an earthly one, it's a heavenly kingdom," they got offended and they didn't accept it because of their stubbornness, because they hold to a certain opinion, a certain idea, a certain belief without examining it, without seeing the truth. They were blind and deaf. And many today have the same frame of mind. They have some ideas in their mind, and they will be destroyed by their own ideas. because they don't examine these ideas in the light of the truth. It is very difficult and it's very hard when a person believes in something as it is wrong, right? But it is wrong, because this will destroy you. And that's why the whole scripture warned us against this. Don't believe every spirit, but examine the spirit. Is it from God or not? Don't believe every idea, every concept, every doctrine. Examine, see if it's from God or not. And that's why the Lord several times in the whole scripture says to us, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Because we have ears, but sometimes we don't listen. We don't understand. We don't hear. Let us open our ears to the divine truth and give up our personal truth, because our personal truth is not true at all. The only truth is the divine. So many don't find the way that leads to life, number one, because they don't accept the difficult task. Number two, because of their prejudice. Number three, because of the deception. The Lord, in His Sermon on the Mountain and in many other places, warned us against false prophets and false teachers. And also, we read the same warning in the letters of the apostles. Because many are preaching gospel which is not Christ, and preaching doctrine which is not defined. And actually, they try to find references from the whole scripture to support their way. For example, the Lord said very clearly, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. But I want you to see how many churches nowadays teach that broad is the way that leads to eternal life. Many churches preach that broad is the way that leads to eternal life, and many will go to heaven. And that's exactly the opposite of what our Lord Jesus Christ said. Many false prophets came to the world. Many preach that we are all going to the same place, but by different ways. We are all in Christ, we are one in Christ, so it doesn't matter which way you are following. All of us who are heading to heaven, but different ways. So the Lord preaching one way, I am the way, and God is one, so the way to heaven is one. He said, I am the way. But many today are preaching there are different ways. That's deception. Many churches today preach that there are many right ways to heaven, but only one wrong way. And that's exactly the opposite of what our Lord Jesus Christ said. We need to be careful of false prophets and false teachers. And the danger is, as the Lord Jesus Christ described them, they come in the clothes of lambs. The Lord said so. They will come in the clothes of lambs. So it's very easy to be deceived by them. Very easy to be deceived by them. And let me tell you here, no one will be excused because he has been deceived. You cannot be excused because you were deceived. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful words. So, as children of Christ, we shouldn't be children in our minds, children here in understanding, not in purity. As the St. Paul says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful words. You know, when the Lord described John the Baptist, he said he is not like a reed shaken by wind. The children of God, how St. David described them in the Psalms. Palm tree, that's right. What else in the Psalms of the Vesper? Al-Mutawakkilun ala Rabb. Like the mountain of Zion, like a mountain. Still, steadfast, has a good foundation, not like a reed shaken by wind. So, no one will be excused. He has been deceived. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions, buffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. So, let no one basically deceive you. As sons of God, you should be able to know and to distinguish between the false teachers and the right teachers. By the fruit you shall know them. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, about the people of Berea, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So when they listened to a teaching, they examined the scripture to see if these teachings are true. So if anybody preached you, there are so many ways to heaven, and you examine the scripture, and the scripture tells you there is only one way to heaven, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. No one can go to the Father except through me, Jesus Christ. You should know that this is a false teaching, not a true teaching. So, why many people don't find the way that leads to life, number one, plain? Not hard. Many people don't like to accept the challenge, to accept difficult tasks, to accept to deny themselves, accept to carry their cross. They want the easy way. And number two, prejudice, blindness of their heart. And number three, deception. Number four, because many yield to peer pressure. Many yield to peer pressure. Many people, although they know the truth, but they yield to the pressure of the family, the friends, the companions, whatever. And I'll give you some examples from the Holy Scriptures. The parents of the man who was born blind, they knew that Jesus Christ is the one who healed their son. But why they couldn't confess this to the scribes and Pharisees, to the priests and high priests? Why? Exactly. They yielded to the pressure of the priests and high priests. Because the priests and high priests made a statement. If anyone confesses this is Christ, he will be kicked out of the synagogue. And they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. And that's why they failed to find the right way. They failed to confess that Jesus is Christ, Son of the Living God. Because they yielded to the pressure of their religious leaders at the time, the priest and the high priest. They yielded to the pressure. Also, in John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, we'll find the same, but about different people. It says, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So, if you want to find the narrow way, if you want to find the truth, you should be able to face all the pressure and to be courageous, to be brave, to resist all the pressure that comes from whoever, your family, your peers, your friends, whatever. This is very important because many youth compromise their values and their beliefs just to please their friends, just to conform to the world, just to conform to their friends, to their society. And that's really dangerous. See what the Lord teaches in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. The Lord says, "He who loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not carry his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So if there is a pressure from your friends or your family or whatever to put away God from your life, and if you yield to this pressure, then in this situation you don't deserve Christ. I like what St. Paul wrote about this in his letter to Romans. Think chapter 8. Yeah, chapter 8, verse 38. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who can say this? Sometimes it's very easy for my friends to separate me from love of Christ. Very easy. But see how St. Paul, actually, this is a song St. Paul was singing. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another reason, again, number five, why many don't find the narrow way, simply because they are preoccupied with materialism and pleasures of the world. And before I speak about this point, I want to differentiate between the world as creation of God and the world as, you know, pleasures and lusts of the world that separate me from God. You know, I want you to keep this in mind, because sometimes we use the word in two different contexts. When we say, for God so loved the world, this means his creation. And what God created is, as it's described in Genesis chapter 1. So, world as the creation of God is very holy, very blessed, because God didn't create evil. But when we say love of the world, don't love the world or things that are in the world, we mean here, you know, the pleasures or the lusts of the world that separate me from the love of Christ. So, when I say we are preoccupied with world pleasures and materialism, I mean here in the context that these things will separate us from the love of Christ. Those who are preoccupied with the world pleasures and materialism, when the word of God falls in their hearts, it will fall among what? Among thorns. You know the parable of the sower? It's like among thorns. And the thorn will do what? Yeah, will kill the seed, so it will not be fruitful. So, if you are preoccupied with the love of the world, if you are preoccupied with the pleasures of the world, with materialism, then no matter what you read, what you listen, what you pray, because once the seed will fall into your heart, it will be killed by the love of the world. And that's why the Lord warned us against this. in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, the Lord said, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by their cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." Because the world is choked by the cares, worries, riches, pleasures of life. Those who are preoccupied with materialism and pleasures of the world, they lack the interest in saving their own souls. They lack the interest in saving their own souls. They are worried more and they care more about their present life than the life to come. They don't understand the value of their soul. Although the Lord said, "What profits a man if he won the whole world and lost his own soul?" But many people, they don't value and they don't understand the true value of their soul, of the salvation. You know, St. Peter said, "You are not purchased by silver or gold or precious stone, but you are purchased by what? By the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The life of your soul. Don't give it up because of the pleasures of the world." And they try to justify their behavior by saying and thinking that God is so merciful and God will forgive them what they did without repentance. Let's read Romans chapter 3, verse 18. Or let's start from verse 10. "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. No one understands the value of his soul. No one seeks for God. They just seek for the riches of the world. All have turned aside. Together they have gone wrong. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of apes is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That is a description to their sin. So they need to understand the nature of God. Yes, God is merciful, but God also will revenge from the evildoers. In Romans 11, verse 22, St. Paul says, "Note then the kindness and the severity of God." You have to keep in your mind both the kindness and severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. So don't deceive yourself by just preaching that God is merciful. You have to put his kindness and his severity. And as St. Paul also wrote to the Thessalonians, his second letter, chapter 1, from verse 6 to 9, he said, God will render vengeance on all those who do not know him and who do not do his will. So, to find the narrow way that leads to life, you should have this real interest in your heart to save your soul. The real interest to save your soul and follow Christ. It's like hunger and thirst to righteousness. And that's why the Lord said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. Do we have this hunger and thirst for righteousness? If we have it, in what manner we will live our life? If we have this hunger and thirst for righteousness, do you think you can stay for months or weeks without praying or without opening the whole scriptures and reading? No? If you are hunger and thirst, then day and night you will pray. Our salvation. And one thing that diminish our hunger and our thirst what righteousness is materialism. Okay, نراجع تاني. Why many don't find the narrow way? Number one. Too hard. Like they don't accept to deny themselves or to take this chance, to live a difficult life. Number two, prejudice. Number three, deception. Number four, peer pressure. Number five, this time you're not preoccupied with world pleasures and materialism. Number six, and this is the last reason, many don't find the narrow way because we fail to tell others about it. What do I mean by this? I mean by this evangelism. Do we share our experience with God with others? Many people don't know where the truth is, simply because they are ignorant of the right way. And believe me, around us here in this society, many people have the eagerness to know the right way and to seek God. But because nobody preached them, they just didn't find. It is your responsibility to share this with everyone. It is your responsibility. Remember when we talked last time about the apostles, how when Andrew met the Lord, he went and called Peter to come and see the Lord. When Philip met the Lord, he went and called Nathaniel. They, like St. Paul, he said in Rome, how they believe without preaching? How they believe without hearing about the Lord? So many didn't find it because no one told them. And it is your responsibility. We need to preach the word of God if we consider ourselves debtors to the Lord, as St. Paul considered himself, then we will do. See how St. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. I am under obligation both to Greeks and both unto the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. He's under obligation. You know, last week in Orlando, we had the evangelism conference. And we heard to the experience of many who converted to Orthodoxy. And they shared with us how they just were so hungry, so thirsty to the world of truth. And nobody guided them. They started to They wanted to leave the church of the time of the apostles. So they started to read in the literature. As they read in the literature, there is Eucharist, there is confession, there is priesthood, there is worship, there is incense. I just started to do it. Of course, they start to call themselves, you know, bishops and priests and whatever, and start to raise incense, but because nobody guided. They want to know the truth, but nobody guided. Until later on, they reached one of the Orthodox churches, and they accepted them. And now, they are great preachers and witnesses for Orthodoxy. They were about 2,000 persons. 2,000 persons. So I want to tell you, there are many around us here seeking for the truth, and they don't know. It is your responsibility. You are under obligation. And you will not lose anything. Just preach the word of God. Just invite them to come and taste Christ. And the worst response you will have, when they say no, I don't like to go. And this doesn't help. But many will come. When many will follow the right way. It is your role here. I am under obligation. I am under obligation. Every opportunity you have to take advantage of every opportunity and every chance. Now I like what St. Paul said to Timothy. Preach the word in due season and non-due season. Just preach them. You will not lose anything. And of course, to preach the word, you have to be ready to answer and to give an answer for everyone, as St. Paul, as St. Peter said, be ready to give an answer to anyone asks you about the salvation that you have in 1 Peter 3:15. I'll conclude by reading Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, then my house may be filled. This is a message from God to every one of us. Go to the highways, go out to the highways and hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. In the litany of the assemblies, Abuna says, let your people be in blessing, thousands of thousands and a thousand times a thousand during your world. How the people of God will become thousands of thousands and a thousand times a thousand if we don't preach? Go out to the highways and compel people to come in, that my house will be filled. The Lord wants his house to be filled, and how they will believe without preaching. It is your obligation, it is your role to share what you experience with others. These are, at least, if one has more reasons, to share it with us. But at least these are six reasons why many don't find the valley. What are the six reasons why many don't find the valley? Number one, too hard. Number two, prejudice. Number three, deception. Number four, peer pressure. Number five, preoccupied with materialism. And number six, Okay, do you have any comments or questions? That's why I said you have to be ready to give an answer. There are many answers in the Bible. I'll give you just one verse, but if you need to know more answers, you can read the comparative theology book by his one Pope Shenouda. He has a chapter about sins and position. But in Hebrews chapter 15, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. These clouds of witnesses are the saints. When God said, I am God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, God of living, not God of dead. That's another example. In Revelation, this angel that was raising incense on the altar of God, and he was raising the incense which is the prayer of the saints. That's another example. Also in Hebrew, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life, or in another translation, consider the end of their life. That's the outcome of their life. So we consider this after what? After their death, after departure, and imitate their faith. And that's why In our tradition, we don't celebrate the birthday of the saints, but we celebrate their departure, because St. Paul said, consider the end or the outcome of their life, with the exception of only two, St. Mary and John the Baptist. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, in Synaxarium, we say, today we celebrate the martyrdom of, today we celebrate the departure of. Because we consider their faith, the outcome of their life, and we have to imitate their steps, imitate their faith. So imitate their faith, then we should know their history. We should know their stories, their life. How can we imitate their faith without knowing? Yeah.